Good morning, and welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Tea and coffee will be served between our morning services and after our reflective service here at 6:30 this evening. This morning's service will be led by Sukin, and we look forward to hearing God's message through his words. Pastoral news. Helen Johnson has died. Alan Johnson is now back home. Please pray for the Johnson family. Ray Erskine had her operation, and the most up-to-date news I have is that she remains in hospital, but is improving. Please pray for Elizabeth, who's a friend of Georgina's, who's just been given a diagnosis of motor neurons disease. Please pray particularly at 6 o'clock this evening when she will be attending a healing service. Liz and Ken Bartlett are worshipping this morning at their former Notting Hill Methodist Church, which, as you may know, is in the shadow of Grenfell Tower. I've asked them to send a message that we are praying for them and to say that if there's anything that we can do practically, we will endeavour to support them. Now, with regard to Christian Aid, we have now got all the monies in, says Ray Charlton, and considering all the other issues going on, it is heartening that overall we consider the very poorest in the world. This is a great result again from all at KURC and Friends who helped with this year's Christian Aid collection, City Walk, Quiz and Count Up. Overall, we made £3,582. Pretty amazing. Thank you to Ray. Now, you may or may not remember that this part of Kingston is subject to redevelopment. Changes to the area opposite the front of the church is now being considered, and the first opportunity to look at the developer's view of this area will be on Thursday the 6th of July between 4 and 8 and Saturday the 8th of July between 10 and 2. And the exhibition is in Surrey House, which is part of the area that will be developed. There are flyers, this one's a bit manky, they're not all manky, out there in the foyer. I do encourage you to look, because this is our church, and over time things will be very different all around us. Thank you.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come now to worship and receive rest for your souls." Amen. Let us sing the first hymn, "Have Faith in God, My Heart," 499.
Thank you.
visited. Prayer of Thanksgiving. Holy God, thank you for your righteous rule in our lives, that mercy triumphs over judgment, that compassion overcomes anger, that those who fail are lifted up. Use us as instrument of your gracious power, that the hungry may be fed, and all eyes turn toward you. Amen. Responsorial Confession. When I pray, write print, please respond bold print. Almighty God, when we do not understand why we do the things we do, forgive us. In Christ there is freedom. Set us free. When we speak out of spite and not in love, forgive us. In Christ there is freedom. Set us free. When we act out of anger and not in mercy, forgive us. In Christ there is freedom. Set us free. When pride overcomes humility, forgive us. In Christ there is freedom. Set us free. When jealousy is more important than generosity, forgive us. In Christ there is freedom. Set us free. Lord, by your Spirit, teach us when we do not understand why we have fallen short of your ideal. Forgive us our sins and transform us by the perfect law of freedom. In your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Morning, the Bible reading Matthew chapter 11. Treasurer James, read for us.
So the reading starts from verse 16 in Matthew chapter 11. Now, what can I compare the people of this day? They are like children sitting in the marketplace. One group shouts to the other, We've played wedding music for you, but you wouldn't dance. We sang funeral songs, but you wouldn't cry. When John came, he fasted and drank no wine, and everyone said, he has a demon in him. When the Son of Man came, he ate and drank, and everyone said, look at this man, he is a glutton and a wine drinker, a friend of a tax collector and other outcasts. God's wisdom, however, is shown to be true by its results. And skipping to verse 25, at that time Jesus said, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you because you have shown to the unlearned what you have hidden from the wise and learned. Yes, Father, this was how you were pleased to have it happen. My Father has given me all things. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chose to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light.
Let us sing Beautiful Brokenness. Let us pray for the children. Father, as the children leave to continue their own activities, we ask your blessing on them. May they come to know you in your love for us all. Amen. This morning, our next Bible reading, Romans chapter 7. Alan Oscroft read for us this morning.
Romans 7, 15 to 25. I do not understand what I do, for I don't do what I would like to do, but instead I do what I hate. Since what I do is what I don't want to do, this shows that I agree that the law is right. So I am not really the one who does the thing, rather, it is the sin that lives in me. I know that good does not live in me, that is, in my human nature. For even though the desire to do good is in me, I am not able to do it. I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I do not want to do. If I do what I don't want to do, this means that I am no longer the one who does it. Instead, it is the sin that lives in me. So I find that this law is at work. When I want to do what is good, what is evil is the only choice I have. My inner being delights in the law of God. But I see a different law at work in my body, a law that fights against the law which my mind approves of. It makes me a prisoner of the law of sin which is at work in my body. What an unhappy man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is taking me to death? Thanks be to God, who does this through our Lord Jesus Christ. This, then, is my condition. On my own, I can serve God's law only with my mind, while my human nature serves the law of sin.
A long time ago, a man talked to me about how hard he found it to be a Christian. A friend had invited him to church, and he came every Sunday morning. He listened to sermons, prayed to God. He wanted to follow the Christian way. However, it did not affect his business life and relationships. He couldn't stop his previous behaviors. He wanted to change his attitude and be seen to be a good person. He admitted, "I'm a churchgoer, but I'm not a good Christian." He also admitted he was still drinking alcohol, smoking, and still using bad language at work. He told me, I cannot come to church anymore because I have a bad conscience. Before I went to church, I felt free to drink and swear. Now I feel guilty. Before he started attending church, he worried about pleasing his wife. Now he was worried about pleasing the minister and the friend he had made at the church. He said he was going to stop coming to church. He wanted to go back to his old way of life and get his freedom back and not feel uncomfortable anymore or guilty. When he told me, I was actually pleased because I could see his face was developing. He was standing to grow in faith, but he didn't realize it. So I told him he was growing as a Christian because there was a conflict now, when before there wasn't a conflict. Growing in faith is a journey. The first step is assurance of salvation. The second is living a life of grace. For some, there is a time of suffering for the faith. At that stage, some people give up. Some people are more prayerful and grow in faith. Some people say the right words but don't practice them. We might call them Sunday Christian. People say things like, I can't help it. This is the way I am. They try to justify their bad behavior. They want to be seen to be Christians, but don't follow the Christian way. I tried to encourage my friend to not give up, to keep on trying. Don't go back to your old ways. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. He will help you if you let him. Now, my friend has become a good church member. Now, let us talk about Paul. Paul says in verse 18, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, this evil I do not want to do. This I keep on going. In this passage, Paul confesses what he realized about himself. He wanted to live a good life, but found it wasn't that easy. Is Paul asking a question that only applies to him, or does it apply to us too? Paul, as a member of the Sanhedrin and a scripture writer, a religious lawyer, He aspires to live out the law. People would regard him as a deeply pious man. People would look up to him. He wants them to know he is as much a sinner as they are. In Rome chapter 7, verse 14, it's written in the present tense. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. He understands salvation comes from having faith in Jesus. However, much he is in conflict with himself. He cannot practice, live out the Christian life without the presence of the Holy Spirit. He cannot do it in his own strength. He used to live a strict way of life, obeying the rules and the regulations. There is a fight between body and soul. In verse 24, he asks, "Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" When we become a Christian, we think we will stop our previous bad behavior and instantly become perfect, angelic. Sometimes my children ask me, why do Christian people fall out with each other? They see churches splitting apart because they don't agree on things. They see people leaving the church because of they don't agree with the minister or vicar. They don't understand why there is a conflict. Paul realized there is a conflict within himself, that we can actually be in conflict within ourselves. We want to follow religious laws and regulations, but we can never do that perfectly. We are still sinners. We are tempted to be greedy and find it hard to resist. Paul says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, my sinful nature." The body is at war with the spirit. That kind of tension is there all the time. Paul described this tension in other letters. He asks in verse 24, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" The answer is in the next verse. "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." In the next chapter, Romans chapter 8, Paul describes how to live a life led by the Holy Spirit. We can try to live a pious life, a good moral life, so other people see we are a good Christian, but we cannot do it without God's Holy Spirit. Paul tried to live a good life before he met Jesus, but he wasn't fully free to do this until he encountered the Holy Spirit. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. There is a danger that we don't want to be changed. We think we are good enough and are proud of that. We might like to be seen to be pious, but we don't want to do the hard work of being changed. We might ask, why do we need to follow the Holy Spirit? I'm already a good person. I have a good ethics. I obey the laws of the land. People respect me. Paul could have said this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 17, Paul wrote about the Holy Spirit, why we need to follow him. Christians must become disciples and make disciples, build God's church. And we cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. God's last order came when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 to 5, Ezekiel uses picture language about the river flowing from the temple to illustrate four different kinds of faith. A small stream of water was flowing out of the south side of the gate. With his measuring rod, the man measured 500 meters downstream to the east and told me to wade through the stream there. The water came only to my ankles. Then he measured another 500 meters, and the water came up to my knees. Another 500 meters further down, the water was up to my waist. He measured 500 meters more, and there the stream was so deep, I could not wade through it. I was too deep to cross except by swimming. Our faith is sometimes only ankle deep. God wants us to let the Holy Spirit overflow into our lives, and we must swim with it. I wonder what level our faith is. Have we allowed the Holy Spirit to take us to a deep level? We need to go deeper, and with God's grace, we will. Amen. Let us keep still for a moment. prayers of intercession. When I read the right print, please respond bold print. Let us pray for those who are tired of life and all it threw at them, or who are exhausted by the daily struggle for survival, or who are wearied by worry and anxiety. May they find the rest they need. Let us pray for those burdened by memories of the past or weighed down by the expectation of others, or who carry more than their fair share of responsibility. May they find the resources they long for. Let us pray for those who are oppressed by those in power, or who are suffocated by the demand of work, or who are silenced in the face of injustice. May they find the freedom they seek. Amen. Continued our worshipful offering. Eternal God, we come with this gift of offer, the praise of our lips and the service of our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sing our next hymn, Christian People, Raise Your Song. 4, 3, 5. visited. Here the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it is recorded by St. Paul, 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper. Saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let us pray. We offer you thanks, Creator, Savior, Giver of life. From the beginning you have made yourself known. The heavens proclaim your glory, and the earth sings your praise. In wisdom you made all that is, and you blessed us with the bounty of us. You are merciful and gracious, and abounding in love. Yet from our first days we have disobeyed your will. Long ago, you called to yourself a people to shine as a light, to guide all nations to your presence. You led them to freedom. You revealed to them your law and taught them through your prophets. Finally, you sent your promised Son, Jesus Christ, who shared our human nature and understood our weakness. Born of Virgin Mary, he showed forth our love by word and sign. Therefore, with all your people in heaven and on earth, we sing the triumphant hymn of your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Christ, our Passover has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. Amen. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the body, the blood of Christ. Amen. Prayer after communion. God of a love stronger than death, you have given us new birth into a living hope through the gift of your Son. God with us, like a mother, you have fed us with yourself and strengthened us for journeying ahead. God of truth and power, you take our weakness and our sin and refashion us by grace. Gracious God, may the love which bids us welcome at this table gather all your children into one, in your eternal presence, whole and free at last. Amen. Let us sing our final hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" 366. into the world with the food of your pilgrimage in peace and gladness. Thanks be to God for his gift beyond the world. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.